This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's post-election day, and we've got some clarity already. Trump won the presidency by a landslide, while Republicans have won control of the U.S. Senate. The House, by the way, is still up for grabs. So let's talk about what this all means for financial markets. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, let's bring on Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services. And you got to check out his website, horizoninvestment.com. Again, that's horizoninvestment.com. Well, Chuck, always great to have you on the Gains podcast. What's your read on all of this?
Well, it's hard not to be bullish on the market, and not just because of what happened today. As you know, Andy, we have been bullish for quite some time, and that bullishness has been based on a number of things. The strength of the Dow theory, the three major engines, interest rates, inflation, and corporate profits, continuing to tilt to the bullish camp, et cetera. So we have been positive on the market. What today did is really reconfirm the bull market trend and kind of clear up one of the lingering kind of, I don't want to say danger spots, but kind of lingering laggards, that being the Dow Jones Transportation Average, which hasn't really been responding all that well, literally, for about 3 years. It's trended a bit higher, but it has significantly underperformed the industrials. Well, that changed today. You had the Dow Jones Transportation Average really breaking out from a three-year sideways trading motion to a new all-time high. And for me, that is the highlight of the day, that you finally have this breakout in the Dow Transportation, confirming the new all-time highs in the Dow Industrial Average and reconfirming that bull market trend. So, you know, some pretty good things happened today, especially that movement in the Dow Jones Transportation Average, which, by the way, you're not going to hear anybody else report but me, but it's as we've talked over time, you know how important that really is, the performance of the transports.
And then, you know, that you bring up an important part of all of this. We, you know, we've been on the Dow theory journey for years now, and I'm sure a lot of Gains listeners, you know, they know exactly what we're talking about when we've looked back and talking about the transports and them now breaking out. But you kind of mentioned that when you have a big day like this and you're breaking out, going higher, you know, we always talk about the Dow theory. Yeah, that almost clears the deck on levels and numbers. And that's where I want you to kind of go with, you know, we've been following the Dow Industrial highs and the Dow Transport highs and the range that it gives and the Dow Transport lows and the Dow Industrial lows. But all those numbers have been cleared out. So just kind of explain.
Yes. And you did a good job, actually, of explaining it. Is when you get kind of this reconfirmation, and I want to stress it's a reconfirmation of an ongoing bullish trend. So this is not a new bull market under the Dow theory. It's simply saying, listen, the market had been bullish. What you want to see happen from the Dow theory is a continued reconfirmation of the bullish trend. That occurs when you have new significant highs in the Dow Industrials and Transports, And that's what we got today. Once you get that reconfirmation and that significant breakout in both the Dow Industrials and the Dow Transports, you get a reset in effect. So, you know, if somebody's wondering, well, what are the points on the upside now that we should be watching, and what are the points on the downside we should be watching? There are no points yet. They're yet to be determined, basically. So what'll happen is, you know, eventually this rally will peter out. And maybe it peters out tomorrow, maybe it peters out a week from now, who knows? But it will eventually peter out, and we will eventually have a pullback in the market. That pullback in the market, wherever that low point is established, will be important, because that will be, in effect, setting the next floor for both the Dow Industrials and the Dow Transports as the significant low points that you don't want to see broached on, you know, any kind of a rally and then another pullback below those points. So, you know, we're kind of in a waiting game now, quite frankly, and kind of seeing where this goes. I will say that, you know, following big breakouts like this, it is not unusual for the market to kind of pull back. I know that sounds kind of counterintuitive, but the fact of the matter is, you know, a tremendous amount of buying power and a tremendous amount of energy was used today to drive the market in that type of movement. I mean, I'm not sure I can recall the last time the Dow Jones Industrial Average went up 1,500 points in a day. Maybe it hasn't. I'd have to go back and look, but that's a heck of a move, and it was an even bigger move in some other indices like the transports, like the Russell 2000 small cap. So lots of energy was used today. Sometimes when that energy is used, it's like a marathoner. You get tired and you slow down a little bit. And once you cross the finish line, you take a break. And so it's very possible somewhere in the near term here, we will have a pullback in the market. And that pullback could be, you know, in the realm of 5 to 8% off the top. Well, if we do get one of those, and that would still be a pullback well within the parameters of a bull market, you know, that pullback will eventually establish those key downside points that we're always kind of talking about and looking for. Right now, there aren't any, you know, so they'll be established on that downside. And once that happens, Andy, you and I will get back together and we'll talk about those downside points. And, you know, and kind of then we'll have fresh upside points too, because the points that will be established on the upside will be the points that are established whenever this rally peters out. So, you know,
you always say, let the market tell us where, you know, let the market tell us. And that's the beautiful thing about the Dow theory, is when we clear the decks, we let the market reestablish these levels and tell us. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. We could guess, but there's no sense in guessing. Let the market tell us. And then we'll listen to what the market says in terms of the points. And we'll take it from there. So,
is there one little quick question? And I know this is kind of not really Dow, because we want, you know, Dow theory is very disciplined and we follow levels. You know, as a contrarian as well, as a degen as well, I often like to buy the rumor, sell the news. A lot of us are familiar with that. I feel like when we get, you know, clarity on something, that's often, you know, an opportunity to sell the news. Is there any part of you, and you know, we especially if you've been listening to the Gains podcast, you know, a lot of people have been bullish, and we've been talking about this and how the Dow theory is. Gosh, this just seems like an opportunity on stuff that is up a lot to maybe sell the news, cash in a little bit, unload. I have just thoughts on that. That doesn't really, you know, necessarily jive with the Dow theory, but just from as a market player, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think basically kind of what you're saying is, you know, if somebody has more of a kind of a trading mentality, you know, maybe take some chips off the table here because of the market's kind of, you know, a buoyant move today, not necessarily making a major bet for the long term, but, you know, want to shave some points off here. I have no problem with that. I will be honest with you. I'm not very good at it. And a lot of people aren't very good at it. That's what makes trading markets difficult.
Right, you get out and then the stock moves another 15% and you're like, why? Oh, why? Or you don't do it and you get crushed, you know, it becomes
right. But if somebody's a disciplined trader, and I use that term trader, if somebody is a disciplined trader, you know, this, yeah, I mean, in some ways, it's a perfect time to take some profits off because, you know, you got this, you know, you got the uncertainty of the election out of the way. You've had this massive rally on that election news. You know, maybe it's going to go higher, and it probably will go higher over time. But as I mentioned before, you know, it's likely somewhere in here, probably in the near term, you're going to get a pretty good whack in the market to kind of restore some of the fear and anxiety that kind of went out the door today, because that's just how markets work. So if somebody wanted to get ahead of that and take some profits here, I have no problem with that. I would only suggest that if you are doing that, make darn sure you have clear re-entry points in the market, or you have a plan of, okay, what am I going to do with that money, and when am I going to get it back into the market? So have a plan, not just on taking the profits, but also re-entering the market. If you do, and you want to go ahead and do that, more power to you. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes when you see something really jumping in price, you know, you can dump it and make a quick profit, and then you see it go down, but then how low does it go? And there's a lot of times where then it turns around and then you've missed it. So that is an excellent point to keep in mind there.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the hardest part of trading. You know, I mean, you're getting out now and making a profit. That's the easy part. It's how, you know, when do you retake either that position or another position? And, you know, because what happens a lot of times is that, well, two things happen. One, the market pulls back, but then it starts going back up again. And then you don't buy because the market's going up and you want it to come down, or the market keeps going down and you don't buy because, well, the market's going down and it's going to go down further. So consequently, you never get back in. And that's the biggest risk to me of an investor. The biggest risk of trading is not so much being in the market when it goes down, but being out of the market when it goes up. And you increase the likelihood of being on that wrong side of the market the more active you are as a trader. But having said all that, if somebody has a plan and a process and a discipline of trading, both getting out as well as getting back in, yeah, this is probably not a bad time to shave some points out of the market.
Now, when you see a result like this, like a presidential election or any kind of election, and you're seeing movement in the Senate, you see one party that might favor a particular industry versus another, though I've tried to guess at that and it often doesn't come through like you think anyway. But does that play into your philosophy of things to buy? You know, we often, even on the Noon Business Hour, we'll talk about, well, you know, if it's a Harris victory, then, you know, healthcare and this and that and pot stocks and, you know, these areas are going to do well. If it's, you know, the Republicans, this and this area. And often that doesn't even square in reality after you actually, you know, watch it play out. But does any of that play into your investment philosophy?
No, it doesn't. You know, and I've said many times on your show, I mean, we do not invest through the prism of politics. I think those types of things you're talking about are really geared toward, trading, traders, short-term trades. You know, maybe you had a trade on that said, you know, if Trump wins, you know, yields are going to spike, bonds are going to go down, and, you know, crypto is going to be the place to be. So you've kind of positioned for that trade. But I think you need to think about that as a trade, not as a long-term position, because I've gone through a lot of election cycles in my life and when watching the markets, and you hit the nail on the head. You think you might know what's going to happen, but it might happen in a 24-hour period, but the likelihood of that persisting over time is not likely. And so, you know, we're kind of stock by stock guys, and, you know, we have a tool, our Quadrix stock rating system, that evaluates in a quantitative numbers-based way more than 3,000 stocks. And we have that as built into our discipline and our stock picking process. And we don't really waver from that. We don't kind of anticipate what we might think might happen depending on who sits in the Oval Office and who controls Congress. We're going through and we're looking for opportunities. We're looking for, you know, stocks that are reasonably priced, that are still growing. And, You know, we're not afraid to go into a sector that may be out of favor today, but we think there's opportunity there for, you know, the next 12 to 24 months, if not longer.
How do you maintain discipline in markets like this? I mean, they're fun. I mean, they're all lower. I mean, there's big swings in a lot of areas. You can jump on trades, jump out, you know, get in on this, get out, you know. But for a lot of people, that is super dangerous. You're not, if you're doing that, you're not necessarily making calculated moves. So how do you maintain that discipline? Because I think for a lot of new, especially newbies, when I remember when I first would get into these type of markets, I mean, I'd be pulling my hair out. I'd be going crazy. So how do you keep that discipline to keep a cool head and make sure you're doing the right things, even in these super volatile markets?
Yeah, no, you brought up a very, very good point. And in some ways, you brought up the secret of successful investing. Emotions kill, and disciplines kind of can drive long-term results for you. So it's, you know, humans are emotional animals, and emotions will be the bane of an investment program. What some people do, and this is going to be sounding maybe as self-serving as I'll get out, is they hire other people to do it because they know their weaknesses. And one of the things that presumably professionals can bring to the table is a dispassionate look at portfolios and hopefully also bring a disciplined process. But that's not to say that investors can't have discipline processes as well. The key thing is just sticking with it. I mean, if you are, you know, too many times long-term investors become traders and traders become long-term investors. And what I mean by that is if you're a trader and you buy a stock that goes against you, don't hold it because you have a loss, because you've just basically converted from being a trader to a long-term investor.
Right.
Sell it and do something else. Conversely, if you're a long-term investor and all of a sudden you think you can buy in and out and you're going to dart in and you're going to do that, you've become a trader, and that's not your discipline. That's not what you want to do, and you're probably not going to be very good at it. So the biggest thing is to know yourself, know what you want to accomplish with an investment program. And maybe you have your investment programs divvied up into buckets. And maybe you go, okay, here's my 401k plan. I'm not going to screw around with that. This is going to be long-term, you know, 30, 35 years, 40 years. I'm looking down the road and I'm going to do the smart thing with that. I'm going to control my costs. I'm going to buy, you know, broad-based indices, and I'm not going to get too cute with that. And over time, history tells me this should grow fine. Here, I'm going to have this other bucket where I'm, you know, for lack of a better term, going to have some fun. And I'm going to experiment a little bit. And I'm going to try some things and see if I see what, you know, if I do have some trading practices that make sense. You know, I would keep that bucket smaller than your other more important bucket. But, I mean, if you want to, you know, divvy up your portfolios across investment strategy, which, by the way, is a form of diversification. You know, everybody thinks of diversification as stocks versus bonds versus cash versus real estate versus ostrich farms. And that is, a diversification across assets. There's diversification within asset classes, within stocks. You've got large cap, mid cap, small cap, value, growth, international. But diversification across investment style or strategy, where maybe you're a trader here, maybe you're a contrarian in one bucket, maybe you're, you know, a momentum follower in another bucket, because investment styles run in and out of favor on the markets as well. You know, that's okay. But just, you know what you're doing with the money that you're putting at risk in the market and run the discipline that you have set in your mind for those funds. It's not easy. That's probably the biggest mistake. You hit on the biggest mistake that everyone makes is, you know, becoming emotional during volatile market periods. And, you know, and the last thing, Andy, and I know I've been rambling here, but the last thing is, you know, quite frankly, people don't think of markets going up as volatile. Like today, if you ask people, was this a volatile market? There are people out there that expected volatility around the election. Well, they got it. They got it today. But when the, you know, Dow's up 1,500 points, nobody views that as volatility. It's only when the Dow's down 1,500 points.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
People view it as volatility. So in these types of markets, you know, it's you just need to keep a clear head and to stick to the plan. And whatever the plan is for that particular piece of money that you're working with at that point in time, that's hard to do. But that's probably the single biggest secret, so to speak, of building long-term wealth is not getting emotional, not diverging from your plan, and staying with your plan regardless of what's going on in the market. I you know, last point here, I promise, but I've said before, I mean, markets today are great, but I almost don't like those sorts of markets because these sorts of markets almost force investors to do something. It's like, geez, the market's at 1500. I got to do something.
Right, and, right.
You know, I like markets that don't make me feel like I have to do something, you know, which means they're boring markets. But boring markets, to me, are the ones that's where you really make crow. That's where, you know, the market, you know, the market's gone up, you know, 0.5% here, you know, going up. It's not forcing me to make decisions. The more decisions I make, more likely the more opportunities I am to get it wrong. And so, you know, markets like today are great. Enjoy them. But, you know, a steady dose of this type of volatility, I think, can be more difficult to handle for your portfolio. So we'll see how things go from here.
You brought up an excellent point that I actually want to finish, you know, our conversation off with is, you know, sometimes it's not a bad idea, and you touched on this, to bring in some outside help, especially if you're not disciplined. And the thing that I find, I mean, I have access to a lot of different opinions regarding the market. And the thing that I find from talking to professionals is they fill in blind spots. We all have them, and it's nice to have other opinions be like, well, this, yeah, that's a great idea, but did you think about this? And filling in those blind spots. And I guess that's the thing, like, Chuck, you know, I have you on our podcast all the time. And, you know, of course, we know you're CEO of Horizon Investment Services, and the website is horizoninvestment.com. But to just kind of wrap things up, you know, if you are an individual investor and you've been caught up in this and you might want to bring in some outside help, what's the best way of getting a hold of you?
Yeah, well, the best way, Andy, and again, I didn't mean to turn this into...
It just makes sense, especially on a day like this. I mean, sometimes it's good to look for a professional. So that's why I brought it up.
Website, you can go to our website at Horizon Investment. That's investment without the S, horizoninvestment.com. Or you can call us here at 800-711-7969. But the last point I do want to make is, you know, the value, maybe the biggest value an outsider can do for you is not so much, you know, pick all these home run stocks for you, because that's hard to do for anybody. A big value that we bring to the table is that we will protect you against yourself. And I know that sounds kind of nuts.
And yourself is generally the biggest danger when you're investing. Go ahead. Sorry.
It is, you know, because you get too close to an investment, or you get emotional about a particular investment, or you get scared, or you do things out of fear. And those are the sorts of things that really can deep six a portfolio. So, you know, if you think you need some outside help and you explore that, you know, talking to, you know, registered investment advisors or any kind of financial advisor, you know, keep in mind that, you know, if somebody tells you, yeah, all we do is pick winning stocks, you know, I would not be, what I would like to hear is like, listen, we don't get it right all the time, but what we can do, A, is, as you said, help you find your blind spots, B, make sure that you understand the risk that you're taking in the market, and then three, you know, we can provide that discipline and consistency for you that you may have more difficulty doing yourself. And, you know, for people that are incredibly disciplined and have a system and have an approach, you know, for them to be able to do this themselves, yeah, more power to you. I mean, you know, go for it. That's great. And you may not need outside help, but there are people out there that probably, again, you know, are fearful about making decisions. They don't make them in a timely fashion. They they respond too much to their emotions, and they could probably use help maybe controlling that.
Big thanks to Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, and check out his website, horizoninvestment.com. Again, that's horizoninvestment.com. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains podcasts on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast powered by Odyssey.